You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 385 and our 10th full season of the podcast. Today is Sunday, September 24th, 2017, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And before we get started, folks, please help us out by giving us a review on iTunes and spreading the word about the podcast. All right, guys, in tonight's show, we'll discuss the rookies who are likely to make the opening day roster next season, Dickey's future with the team, and the Kurt Suzuki signing. But first, a quick break. So, we'll get to some of the kids later, like Dansby, Ozzie, and Newcomb. But let's make some predictions on the true rookies that will or won't be on the 25-man roster on opening day next year and how we think they'll do. So, Ham, you start. Who do you got as a rookie starting next year? Opening day.
Yeah, I think there's some easy ones. But before we start, let me ask you guys, what do you think the Braves' belief about their ability to win is for next season? Do you think Copy and Hart think that this is a rebuilding year, or do you think there's actually a couple moves away from them competing? Because I think that totally changes how many slots there are, how they view their rookies. So
I think that they are going to sign a pitcher and a third baseman in the offseason, and they think they're going to compete for the wild card. That's what I think.
You think that's for the front office thing? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I could see that. Copy's too competitive. And I think there are reasons you could make that argument. I don't think we're that close, but there are some bright spots, obviously, to build off. Curtis, what do you think?
Well, Coppola spoke with Mark Bradley and said that the roster is going to be a lot younger in 2018.
Really?
Now, obviously, some of that, I think, will be attrition and things like that. I think we're all in consensus that they'll move Markakis or Kemp, and then when you add a 20-year-old out there, that will greatly diminish the age of the team.
Right.
Some of the pitchers obviously will be gone.
Rex Brothers will be gone and Mott will be gone.
Jim Johnson might be gone.
Maybe. Although there's a lot of money there on Jim.
Yeah. The catching position will be pretty old, but I think that that's going to be they want to do what they did with Albies in other positions, which is obviously give young guys the opportunity to play the position and not have old guys out there just filling. I think they would rather lose with young guys in 2018 than win with lose with old guys. Sorry,
that's what
because they
hope,
didn't win.
That's what I hope happens. But I think Steve, as you're right in guessing what they are going to do, I think they should do what you say, Curtis. Because I think it informs it. Let's talk about Acuna for me. I think if the Braves actually think they're going to compete, they can't afford to give away a couple of weeks and not have Acuna here, right? But if they do, let's say they're not rushing him, and there's also contractual things where if they don't bring him up to start the season, right, we have him for longer control. So I think if we were trying to compete, I think Acuna makes the opening day roster. I think since we're not, and this is not a season where it is a season where we get much younger and we're looking to lose with young people, then I think Acuna does not make the opening day roster.
I just don't believe they're going to try to protect his Super 2 status and not start him. I really think he's here day one. There's just too much excitement about him.
And I think there's also too many question marks with Matt Kemp. There is a distinct possibility that Markakis is kept around simply due to the fact that he can play and Kemp can't. And they might have a really massive guy in contract and in girth sitting on their bench next year because they can't get rid of him, but they don't want to play him at all.
But, Kurt, they have to make room for Acuna, and Markakis is the guy they can move. They can't move Kemp.
But given how much time Kemp has missed this year, who, I guess, is your other outfield option? I mean, are you talking about Jace Peterson? Are you maybe seeing if Camargo can play outfield?
Or Lane Adams. I mean, I think they're going to play.
Justin Peterson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, jinx.
which he might – I don't know. Maybe does he make the – I don't know. As a bench player, a bat off
Who's
the bench.
That?
Dustin Peterson. But he still has too far to come before he's ready for that.
All right, so Ham, we're like 7 minutes into this segment. You haven't answered anything.
Acuna.
But you said you don't think he's going to be on the opening day roster.
Yeah, I don't. So what is the question that's being asked of me? Oh, who I do think is going to be on.
Who do you think is going to be on the opening day roster?
I think then Gohara is. I think in terms of, I won't talk about Newcomb because I know he's not a rookie. I think Gohara is, whether there's two or three rookie pitchers that make the starting rotation opening day, I think Gohara is one of them.
It's got to be Gohara. I mean, I think that you have to choose if they do sign a frontline starter, right? So then it's Tehran. I'll say it's frontline starter, Tehran, Folty, Newcomb, Gohara. I think you have to pick Gohara over Max Fried, although I really wish that Gohara and Fried are both on the. And no Sims. There is no way that Sims is in the starting rotation to start the season next year. They just don't think that much of him. And he just hasn't been that great.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
He's certainly the worst of the rookies.
Yeah. Gohara has been amazing. Gohara pitched a gem Sunday in the finale against the Phillies. 7 innings, 1 earned, 2 walks, 9 Ks. It's he had 4 walks his first start. And then over his next 3, 0, 0, and 2. I mean, he's good. He's really good already. So I agree with Gohara. And Fried, I think, is the fifth pitcher if they don't sign a free agent.
I hope
but
they don't.
I hear you. And we're going to get to Dickey in a minute. But yeah, I really hope that they give Fried that opportunity to be the number 5 guy. Curtis, do you see anyone else, any other rookies starting the season next year?
Other than maybe guys that we've already seen this year, like Rio Ruiz.
But as a bench guy, yeah?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he is the one that maybe emerges out of spring training and wins the third baseman job.
I would be. I think if it's not a free agent, it's going to be Camargo. I mean, Camargo just looks like the better player to me than Ruiz. Has Ruiz like knocked your socks off and
no,
like,
no. But
forcing a decision?
But you're also the one that is constantly saying that Camargo is a bench player,
a utility guy. Right. No, and I believe that, but I'm not sure the front office has figured that out.
That put Adonis out there as their starting pitcher.
And I don't see that the Braves. I don't see that the Braves are going to go and spend money on a frontline starter and a starting third baseman.
Yeah.
Todd Frazier.
I really think they sign a third baseman. I really do.
So some of the names that are out there, Uni, Escobar's available. Todd Frazier, Mike Moustakas. That's really it. I mean,
what is Moustakas getting paid? What is Todd Frazier getting paid? I mean, those guys are probably making what?
It's going to be low. Yeah, it's going to be, 11, 12 million, I bet.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe more. Moustakas, probably more.
Yeah. You want to miss it? But Moustakas 29 for 3 years. I don't know. Maybe you make a run at that.
No, I would happily do that. I think it would make the team much better.
Yeah. Now,
I mean, I don't
have Kansas City
numbers in front of me, but
yeah.
Well, that's a team going in the opposite direction.
Right. Exactly. All right. So guys, let's talk about Dansby, Ozzy, and Newcomb, who we know will be back. If you don't mind, I'm going to start with Dansby. In his 38 games after getting called up in 2016, he slashed .302, .361, .442. He had 13 walks to 34 strikeouts. So after getting called back up from his demotion this year in 41 games, not counting Sunday's finale against the Phillies, he's slashing .278, .378, .376, 22 walks to 30 strikeouts. I mean, I think that this is this is who Dansby is. And we saw dramatic improvement in his plate discipline, if nothing else evidenced by the walks versus the strikeouts. I mean, Dansby, I think, is only moving upward and can be better next year.
What do you think, maybe take away, an anomaly season, but what do you think his average homers per season is going to be for Dansby? Is he a 20 homer a season guy?
No.
Yeah.
I think he's like a 12 homer a season guy.
Yeah, 12, 15. I mean, but is that
That's not his game.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
That's not what I was going to ask. With all the, and I know that the expectations are ridiculous, but are we going to be content if Dansby Swanson ends up being a 280 batter? Is that what he's supposed to be?
If he's a 280 batter and a high 300s, look, if he's a 280 batter and he's on basing 375 to 400, yeah, and playing good defense, absolutely.
But I mean, do you think that the general fan is going to be content, or I think that they think that he's going to be a 320 batter or something like that.
Those aren't all-star numbers. Do you think Dansby's ever is an all-star?
Those are Jeff Blauser numbers.
Yeah.
Not next year.
Right.
I mean, his ceiling could be there. I mean, his ceiling could get there. I wouldn't bet a ton of money on it that he starts putting up all-star numbers, but I think he's a very, very solid ball player.
True.
Yeah. All right, Curtis, what do you think about Ozzie next year?
I think, just writing down stats, I think that Ozbills is going to be a guy that I wrote down 290. I think that he can get to that level. It hit 8 to 10 homers. And steal a lot more bases. I wish they would cut some of these guys loose. I think that he should have 20 stolen bases or more coming out of the type of player he is. And I hope they get a little more aggressive with him on the base paths next year. But yeah, I mean, I think that that's completely reasonable for, and it'll be slap hits and things like that that drive some people crazy and they think are sort of boring. But I mean, that's his game is, that type of offensive player. And there's lots of guys. Ichiro Suzuki is going to go to the Hall of Fame for being a player like that. So,
well, but he has some power too. I bet he hits more homers than Dansby next year.
You think so?
I do. Yeah. Huh. I think Ozzie has more pop in his bat than Dansby does. I mean, so Ozzie right now is slashing 275, 353, 440, but he, he started pretty slow. Right, if you look at his last 31 games, you basically knock off his first 2 weeks. He's slashing 311, 399, 454. I mean, Ozzie's good. Ozzie can hit.
What do you think? So those numbers are comparable to what Dansby did when he was first up, as you mentioned earlier. Like, what do you think keeps Ozzie from having that swoon that Dansby did, getting figured out, coming back to start next season, all these expectations, and starting really, really flat? Do you see something different in Ozzie? Because that's the only thing I worry about. I mean, I think ultimately Ozzie's going to be a better player than Dansby.
I think because Ozzie had more time in the minors to figure out how to make adjustments and what that feels like and looks like. So I think he's going to be less prone to getting figured out and not being able to adjust to it.
And I think he's also, over the course of his career, been a better average hitter. I mean, he has every sort of stop along the way, he's been a pretty successful hitter. And I don't know that the same can be said for Dansby. When they called him up, I mean, he was batting like 250 or something like that. So I don't know that that Dansby's quite the offensive player that that Ozzie can be going forward. And and his face is not going to be plastered on everything either. So I don't think the pressure is going to be on him quite as much as it was on Dansby.
Right. Because it's not just going to be his face. It's going to be his and Dansby's.
Right. And Acuna.
Together. Yeah, that's right. Ham, what do you think about Newcomb? I mean, so do we all agree that Newcomb's in the starting rotation next year? And if so, do you have high hopes for him next year? Ham?
Sorry, while we were recording, my dog started barking. I went on mute to save the listeners. I do.
Your dog, a huge Newcomb fan.
Yes. You mentioned Newcomb. She went crazy. I think so. I mean, he already has 101 strikeouts, which is fourth most on the team this season. He's great. I mean, he's got a 4.26 ERA. I think that will go down. His whip is 1.57. That's a little nervous making because
he's
got 53 walks, but I think that can go away. Right. But I think he's got dominant stuff. I think he's the most ready to be able to go through a long season. He seems like he's got the demeanor for it. He seems like he has the stuff for it. I think he's here. I mean, I think it's, he's going to have some bad starts next season. He's going to have a lot of five-inning starts, but I think we're going to start to see him getting more into seven innings consistently, and I think he's going to be great, and I'm excited for it.
All right, guys, let's go inside the numbers and look at some things that happened this past week. So we'll start with the number 3.5, as in million, and that is the amount that Kurt Suzuki's getting for a one-year deal that was announced on Saturday this past week. So, Ham, your thoughts on this? You happy about the Kurt Suzuki signing?
I am. The question here is, do you think is it worth going out and trying to get Jonathan Lucroy, right? Sign big money to outbid all these other people for Lucroy? Because that's otherwise, there's not a lot of great catchers out there. There's not a lot of other good options. We know that we have Flowers coming back, right? So I think...
Well, that's not a done deal, but everyone assumes
that's
so.
That's the assumed thing, right? So let's say you don't do Flowers, you don't do Suzuki. Lucroy is really the only one that you would try to make a big move for. And I just, I don't think we win that war, and I don't think I want to win that bidding war for Lucroy. So for Suzuki, he had a 2.2 war this season for $3.5 million. That's crazy.
Insane.
And Flowers had sort of a very similar insane, cost
offensive
per
season.
War.
Yeah,
I mean, they both are like at half price for the war that they're giving you. So I think you definitely do it. I don't think you have two good game managers, a little bit of pop, okay average. I think it's a definitely repeatable thing for both those guys next season. So I'm all for that.
Yeah, I mean, Brett Cumberland and Alex Jackson aren't ready. And maybe they never are, but they're certainly not until 2019. And Flowers' option is $4 million. So for $7.5 million to put those two guys together, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, they have collectively, the Braves have the best war in out of the catching position in baseball.
Yep.
They're tied with the Giants. And what are the Giants paying Buster Posey to get the war out of him?
It's not $7 million.
Yep. Yes, correct. All right, next numbers, 8-2, as in 8 innings pitch and 2 earns for R.A. Dickey in his start this past week. So, Kurt, we are compelled once again to ask if the Braves should pick up his option next season. Kurt, do you think it's the right thing to do?
I liked it, everything that he's done for them. There's a good article today about that winning is not something that they should become accustomed to. The team really likes him. His presence has really, I think, been a very positive thing for the young pitchers. And he's pitched well. Let's not leave that aspect out of it either. My concern, not about the money, but like, if they bring him back, then one of these young guys is not getting to start. And I would rather throw one of them out there for the 2018 season and let them get their feet wet and figure out what's there rather than another season of Dickey. Maybe there's a way they bring him back as a coach / player. But yeah, I mean, overall, it's probably worth it to bring it so they just have some consistency. I'm worried, like with all these other guys, same with the catchers, that at some point there's a breaking point and you're not going to get the return that you got the season before. So
God, I am just 100 times no on him coming back. I mean, if they sign Dickey, then we're talking Tehran, Dickey, Folty, and then two of Newcomb, Gohar, and Fried. Right, so Tehran, Dickey, Folty,
and
Newcomb, Gohara.
And all the ones that would be coming after.
Right, Soroka and Soroka, Allard. Yeah.
Sims, just, even.
Yeah, it just seems like a bad idea. He would 3 out of every 5 starts would be good or really good, and it would get a couple wins for the – it just makes no sense to me in 2018 for this team.
Yeah. I mean, either way, say you go after Jake Arrieta, who is by far the best free agent pitcher out there, then you don't need Dickey, right? Yep. You're not bringing Dickey back with that. And if you're not getting someone like that, because there's not a lot of great starters out there for next season. I mean, if they are, they all have baggage. Yu Darvish, You know, you go after Yu Darvish.
I think they're going to trade for a pitcher. If they're going to get in a frontline pitcher, they're going to trade for it. They're not going out and getting in a bidding war for somebody like that.
Yeah.
That's just not their style. That hasn't been their style since Maddox. They've not gone out and maybe Derek Lowe. They just don't go out and sign guys for big money. They trade for people.
Yeah, I guess so. But there's not a lot. That deal doesn't seem very obvious to me right now what that deal would be. If you're not getting a good frontline starter, then make room for the youngsters, right? You're just treading water with Dickey.
Totally. And as a side note, Kurt, you mentioning Derek Lowe, taking me back to the Frank Wren, Derek Lowe era, it's just horrifying. what a terrible time that was. Okay, Hammy,
how dare you? I'm done. I say no. There's no room for Dickey in either scenario.
All right, guys. Next up,
I'm grateful for what he's done for the team, as is Kurt.
Yeah, no doubt.
Don't want to cast him aside, but he's not part of the long-term plan.
All right, the numbers 0 and 20. Those are A.J. Minter's walks and strikeouts in his 13 appearances out of the pen since being called up. I mean, he is the real deal. I look at him, Jose Ramirez, Sam Freeman, Vizcaino. The bullpen is getting somewhere. I mean, it is a bright spot in my mind. Hammy, what do you think about Minter?
I love it. I think that, like you said, all those guys are starting to develop an identity. It's actually, I mean, it was a revolving door of journeymen, no names, that have manned our bullpen for forever. And we feel like everyone's falling into a place. Right. And it's taking us back to those, you know, O'Flaherty, Venters, Kimbrel days where it just seemed like it was an asset. The bullpen is. And it seems like it's coming along right when our young bats are coming and our young starting pitching is coming. So I'm excited by the bullpen. I'm excited. I'm excited by Minter. Yeah.
And anytime you reach a record that hasn't been done since 1913, that's pretty good.
Which was what?
He became the first Braves pitcher since at least 1913 to not walk a batter in his first 10 appearances.
That's pretty awesome. Wow. All right. So one bonus topic, guys. It was reported that on Saturday this past week, Brian Snitker met with the front office to talk about his future. No decision is made, but all the reports are that the meeting was very positive or that it went well.
Did he just
Which frankly to me means he's not coming back next year.
Oh, really?
I stand by my prediction that he will not be the manager next year.
Did Freddie Freeman go with him?
And Kurt Suzuki.
That was not
Kurt Suzuki
reported.
Gave him a big, big, big endorsement. Push today when he got re-signed.
Well, and you know, there was a tweet from DOB where he said, I'm sure that Suzuki, as part of his contract negotiation, discussed who would be manager next year. But maybe Suzuki loves Ron Washington, too. I just
like am.
Yeah.
Please, please, no Brian Snitker next year.
I think he's gone. I'm putting my cards in that hand. I think he's gone.
I am putting my cards in that hand as well, Kurt.
Is that a thing people do?
No, no one ever has done that.
I'll do
but
it.
I'm
it sounds
to
like
start it with Kurt.
It yeah. sounds like fun.
It's been about 7 shows since I completely made up a phrase, so I felt like I owed the fans. There's something. Isn't there something putting all the cards?
Put your chips and say no.
Yeah, you're throwing your cards on the table.
In the hand with the thing and the guy with the shirt.
None of that works. I think you failed when you said cards.
The guy with the visor that's green, that's see-through.
The arm
garter. All right,
guys.
Yes. Next up is Shot in the Dark, but first a quick break. All right, Shot in the Dark, our predictions for the coming week. And let's start by reviewing how everyone did last week. And we'll begin with our listener Shot in the Dark. All right.
Oh, goodness.
Settle down over there.
All right, Kurt.
Yep.
Stop your celebrating.
I even tried to hook you guys up by not being here for 2 weeks and two, not even submitting one.
That doesn't make me feel much better.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kurt.
All right, so we'll start with Jacob Hyatt, who submitted on Twitter last week. He predicted that Vizcaino would get 2 saves versus the Nats, but blow 2 saves against the Phillies. So Vizcaino certainly blew 1 save against the Nats when he walked in 3 guys
in a row
with the bases loaded. Oh, that was so
awful.
Oh, just insane.
The worst, the lowest point of the season. Of a not great season, that was probably the low point for me. I digress.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Certainly one of the hard. I mean, like, it was that versus that that inning with the 18 errors against the Angels early in the season.
Yes.
Really, those two innings, yeah, are neck and neck. All right. But then he followed in the next game by recording a save against the Nats, and he recorded one save against the Phillies. So not quite, but thanks for playing, Jacob. And let's see how the three of us did. So, Ham, you predicted that Freddie would hit over 300 with only two extra base hits. He batted 222 with one extra base hit. It was a home run. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember what Kurt did. So I predicted that Dansby would hit over 400 this week. This was really Dansby's worst week in recent memory. He went 4-for-19, one walk, a 210 average. So, Curtis, you did predict that the starters would post a sub-3 ERA for the week. The starters gave up 11 earned, over 38 and two-thirds for a 2.56 ERA. So, nice, Kurt,
Curtis,
nicely done. For the first time in about 7 weeks, you are the winner.
Nice.
So it all comes down to next week to see if Ham and I can tie or – yeah, not make you the sole winner there. Do something.
I think you just gave
sake.
That's our only option. Our only hope there is
it
the
is
tie.
Our only option.
There's no other hope.
All right. So to that point, Ham, what do you got for next week?
I'm going big. I say the Braves go undefeated to close the week. For
and
Snitty.
With a doubleheader, that's 8-0.
For Snitty.
Yeah, yeah. Closing the season 8-0, I would have to rescind my prediction because the front office would go, look at the great finish.
Yes, clearly. Yeah. He's a good manager.
All right, Curtis.
I have Gohara going especially after his amazing start today. 7 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 6 Ks.
Yeah, I will sort of stay in that vein. I'm going to go Freed, Gohara, and Newcomb combine for an ERA below 2.8 next week. All right, folks, don't forget to get your shot in the dark in before first pitch of the doubleheader on Monday. And if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show. So, guys, let's look at the final week of the season. 8 games this week, all on the road. 4 games against the Mets, 4 games against the Marlins, and here are the pitching matchups. In Monday's doubleheader, it starts with Sims versus Seth Lugo in his 5-0-3. And then in the nightcap, it's Max Fried getting the start against Rafael Montero in his 5.3. Next up, Dickey versus Chris Flexen and his 7-13. And so I'm just laughing at how I've just never heard of Chris Flexen ever. All right. The final game in New York will be Newcomb versus Gazelman and his 5.38. Not a lot of impressive ERAs there in New York.
New York is in the running for most disappointing season.
Yeah, ravaged by injuries. Harvey madness.
Yeah,
the
it's just like
front office managing.
Are they 2 years removed from the World Series?
Yeah, 2 or 3.
Yeah, they fell fast. I mean, they just have no identity anymore.
Well, and it hurts when every single one of your pitchers just explodes their arm.
Yeah, and it's more painful when they were amazing pitchers and their arms explode. I mean, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
All right, on to Florida for the final 4 games of the season. First up, Tehran versus Dylan Peters and his 6.31. So, guys, Tehran in his last 6 starts, by the way, has given up 9 earned total. And his slash against over those 6 starts, 2.25. 295, 359.
He's fixed.
It's real. Well, I mean, he's really turned it around.
You don't get
time
sucked
to trade
in.
Him.
Yeah, not get sucked in.
It may result in that. You know, I mean, he really could get moved.
He gets 2 starts this week.
One
start. He's gonna do well. And the narrative heading into next season is that he's turned it around. And then just prepare yourself.
All right.
Fool me once.
All right, next up is Gohara versus Dan Straley in his 4.08. Then Folty, hopefully, you know, he's missed a start as he recovers from that cut on his finger. But it should be Folty on Saturday against Despaigne in his 4.37. And then finishing out the season, Dickey gets his second start of the week facing Jose Ureña and his 355 earned run average. So, Hammy, we know your prediction is 8-0.
That's right. I wanted
because you're just
I wanted to take this section off.
Yeah, and you wanted to just commit to not tying Kurt in Shot in the Dark.
If I win, do I actually beat Kurt? Is it more?
Yeah, if you win, it's worth 2.
Okay.
Indeed, 12.
All right.
I'm going to go 5-3 for the week. Curtis, how about you?
I'm with you. 5-3.
Yeah, that would be that'd be exciting to win some games. I mean, really, of course, it's just let's see Freed have a great final start of the season and Gohara, a great final start, and Faulty come back and finish strong. All right, guys, that is the show. Remember,
so sorry, real quick, before we finish this show. Yes, no. So what? Where? I apologize for not. How many wins do the Braves have right now? 67, is that right?
I am checking.
I'm just curious as to, like, even if they win 5 games, where are
70 and 84.
Oh, wow, good.
Sunday night, heading into the final week, 70 and 84.
Okay. Awesome.
So, as you know, Hammy would tell you that they're going to end 78 and 84.
And you know what? That would be quite an improvement over last year.
That would be a great season. You guys will thank me then.
But really, let's say conservatively, they win 4 of 8 this week. So they end 74 and 88. Yeah.
What do you call it? Season of disappointment? You surprised?
I mean, I think it's what Vegas had him at. Didn't Vegas have him at like 75 wins?
And if by Vegas you mean me, yes.
Wait, you're Vegas?
Yes.
I am disappointed by that, yeah. I mean, I really thought they were going to be much closer to 80.
Well, I mean, that's the reason you bring in Dickey and Cologne and hope that, you know, and spend that money there, hoping that.
And go old. I mean, that's why you went old this season, is to be competitive.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, can I end the show now, Kurt?
Any other stats you want to embarrass us that we don't know because we do a Braves podcast?
I can go through some of my fantasy football scores. Yes. If anybody's interested.
But first, a quick
that is the show. All right, folks, remember you can find us at Blog Talk Radio as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our past shows, check out our blogs, and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Brave!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit the problem.